Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
As you know, I mean, talk about Gold Coast, it's cold, number one, and it's colder here. Number two, we are doing a series, What Does God Say About Money? Well, great sermon for the very first sermon, I just have to say. And guess what I've been assigned? Tithing. Whoa. Jesus, you do have a sense of humor. That is for sure. But it is my honor and privilege to share this platform. It is my honor and privilege to come and talk to you about tithing, about giving, because you know what? It is one of my favorite subjects. It's one of my favorite subjects. Why is it one of my favorite subjects? Because it's in the Word of God. And whatever the Word of God brings sets us free. It's the truth that will set us free. And there's so many things in the Word of God, mysteries that need to be uncovered, revelations that need to be revealed, truth that needs to come out. There's so much power in the Word of God. And one of the things that and I know, and I've heard that this house is a very generous house. But you know what? It's not about just you being told about tithing or learning about tithing. It's you understanding the concept so that when you are asked, you can share with others as well. Yeah, we are to make disciples, not JJ make disciples. We are to make disciples. That is what we've all been told. That's in the Bible. So we need to be living according to and living out the mandate that has been given to us in the Word of God. Not just certain things, but everything. And the Word of God is truth. Because why is it truth? It's the only thing that gives us the keys in life that can and will set you free. Set you free from what? Set you free from a life separated from the love and the fullness of God. You see, we serve a living God. We serve a loving God. We serve a Father who sent His Son to die for us on the cross, who gave it all. We serve a loving God that loves you and I individually, not corporately. He loves you so much so that you become, when you give your life to Jesus, you become His son, you become His daughter. You are no longer an orphan. You are no longer an orphan. So therefore, we need to stop as church, we need to stop as believers walking around with an orphaned mentality. You're going to hear me speaking about this a lot. It's one of my passions. My passion is that one of the many passions is that we are sons and daughters of God. That means that when we have a good father and we need healing, we go to Father who gives us healing. When we need financial provision, He gives us financial provision. When we need breakthrough, He gives us breakthrough. Why? Because He's a good father. When my son comes to me or my daughter comes to me and asks me, I give what I have. I don't hold back. And for many years in church, there's this mentality that Father punishes to prove a point. He doesn't. That is a lie out of hell. That's a lie out of hell. He gives because He loves you. He gave His ultimate, which is His Son. Now, I have many testimonies of God's goodness and God's favor, which I'm going to share with you because I think testimony, we know that there's power in testimony. That's how come we need to know what our testimony is so that we can share our testimony with others. Because it's the Revelation talks about the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Testimony of Jesus means about talking about His goodness, because when you talk about His goodness, it proves that He wants to do it again and again and again and again. He doesn't just do it for the pastors. He doesn't just do it for the elders and the board members. He does it for everybody who has given their life to Jesus. Amen? Is it making sense? I hope so. Now, one quick testimony. We are a two-salary family. Anybody else here goes, I'm a two-salary? Yep, there's a number of hands. You know what? The thing is, though, we've got three children. Two boys, one daughter, as you've heard. The two boys are like vacuum cleaners when it comes to food and going to the pantry. You come back from the shops, you pack it in the pantry. Now you see it, turn around, turn back. Now you don't. It's gone. When my boys get up and they go to the pantry door, I start getting nervous. Because I'm like, what are you doing there? Oh, I'm just looking. Looking for what? For the next snack. But you just had one second ago. But yeah, but I want another one. Anybody here understanding what I'm talking about? You'll understand when you meet them on the 20th. They are pretty big. They're big kids. But you know what? We've gone through a season up until now of 18 weeks with one salary. Who knows that that can be referred to as a season of wilderness? By the time we get our salary, our two salaries happy, it will be 22 weeks. Now, this is not woe is me, look at me. This is look at him and what he has done, because you know what? Up until now, God has provided. We haven't been cashed up. We haven't maxed out a credit card. We do have a credit card, $1,000 limit. That's all. But we haven't maxed out the credit card on this kind of stuff. We have not done anything in our own strength. But each time we have prayed and thanked God, because thanksgiving is a key, correct? But another key that we believe and a biblical principle that we stand on is tithing. We've always done that. We've always paid our tithes. We've always put God first in our finances. That's the first thing that happens. So when we work our budget, right at the top is tithe and then everything else. We don't do everything else. And then down here, we give the scraps that are left over to God. It's the other way around. Why? Because God put us first when he sent Jesus, his son. So there's a couple of scriptures that we're going to throw up at the back here. And the first one, which most of us know as believers, is Malachi 3, verse 10. Now, we're going to read this out of the English Standard Version. It says this: bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. The Amplified says it this way. Be also at the back, bring all the tithes. Everybody say all. All the tithes. That is the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. I love this part. Open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, we want the blessings. Yeah? Yeah, we want the blessings. But there is this condition, and this is what the word is always about. There's always a condition before we get the result. So this condition is you bring all your tithes to the storehouse, and then, I love it, see if I will not open the windows of heaven. Pastor Raph's spoken about an open window. You're going to hear this, an open heaven above us. He's going to hear this terminology a lot. I love the fact that God opens the heavens above us. He opens the windows above us. It's not a closed window. It's an open window, because he loves us and he wants to bless us. That he says, open the windows for you and pour out a blessing. Look at your neighbor and say, blessing is for you. Pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, in this passage, the Lord promises this, that if people will do their part, bring all the tithes, the result will be an overflowing blessing from the Lord, that there will not be room enough. But listen to this, Malachi 3, 11 to 12. It says, I will, who's this? God speaking. This is God speaking. I will rebuke the devourer, the locust. I will rebuke. Now, what does the locust do? It steals, kills, and destroys. Let's think about John 10:10. John 10:10 talks about the thief comes to just steal, kill, and destroy. So that I will rebuke the devourer. I will rebuke the one that steals, kills, and destroys for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. Who knows that there has to be seed in the soil for there to be fruit? Yeah? That will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear. This is another promise. In other words, so you plant and there will be fruit. It says it. Let me read it again. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear. So it will. There will be fruit. He's giving you a promise that there will be fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Then verse 12, he says, then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord. All the nations will call you blessed. This is what God wants you as a believer to walk around with. That people look at you and go, wow, he's so blessed. Man, Luke, you are so blessed, mate. How come you're so blessed? Well, says Luke, let me tell you about Jesus. You see, we need to start sowing the seeds of the gospel. Another quick testimony of tithing. The fruit of tithing. My beautiful wife, whom I love so much, down the front, the queen of my heart. Everybody asks me, how the heck did you get her? I'm going, I don't know. It's got to be Jesus. But anyway, last week, Friday, we're sitting very personal. We like to be transparent. We don't hide things. You know, if I cry, I cry ugly. There's times I do cry ugly. So I'll just let you know. Okay. Your tissues are there. Good. Last week, Friday, we are called into a specialist's office, a doctor. And we sit 2 hours with this specialist, and he books my wife in for urgent surgery for Monday, just gone 6 days ago. My wife went in for some urgent surgery. Now remember this, 18 weeks of one salary, 18 weeks of God's provision, 18 weeks of I don't know how the money was stretched to cover the different bills. It's got to be God. It has to be God. Because in the physical, we couldn't have done it. I'm knowing that in my bank account is $174, and I'm sitting in front of a specialist, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, how much is the surgery going to cost? So I say to the doc, I say, hey, doc, what are the fees? He adds it up, and he says this. He says, over $2,000, but not more than $3,000. That's comforting, not more than $3,000. And guess what? This is Friday, remember? It all had to be paid before Monday, 6 a.m., before she goes into hospital. So Monday, before being admitted, it's got to be paid. My natural man wants to freak out. My natural man wants to go, this is impossible. We're not going to be able to do this. But the Spirit reminds me this. As I'm sitting there, Holy Spirit says to me, you remember, you are a son of God. And I just whispered in my spirit, I said, Father, did you hear that? Did you hear what the specialist said? And as I'm sitting like this and I'm holding Paulina's hand on the couch, and as I said, Father, did you hear this? This peace just comes upon me. And I just take her hand and I just squeeze her hand, the reassurance says, hun, it's going to be all right. God's got this. And the result was on Sunday evening, 9:30 p.m., I'm sitting and I'm on my computer and I'm paying the specialist. I'm paying the anesthetist. I'm paying the hospital. You go, what? I go, I know, right? God, but God. You go, why? I go, because I'm a child. I'm his son. You go, how? I go, oh, well, through his love and through his family and through his people. And I don't know how, and I don't want to question how, because I don't question God. I just go, Father, you're my Papa God, and I need to come to you, and you are my provider. And I say this because, you know what? Are we more favored than others? And I go, no, we're not more favored than others. I am his son, and my wife is his daughter, and we are children of the King of the universe. But you, so are you. You are also his son, and you are also his daughter. And you know what Father has done for us, he wants to do for you. And what he does for you, he wants to do for the next one, because that is the characteristic of the God that we serve, the Father that we serve. But let me reiterate this, though. I do believe that fulfilling the tithe plays a role in seeing an open heaven over us, experiencing the abundance of Jesus, the abundance that Jesus promised in John 10:10. Because John 10:10, the first part says, the thief comes just to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus speaking, come to give life, and that in abundance. Now, I want to say this to you. I'm not here to force you or manipulate you or compel you to give your tithe. and your offering, but I am here to point you to Jesus and what he says and what he does. Remember, he only does and says what he sees and the Father do. He says what he hears the Father say, but the choice lies in our hands, church. It lies in your hand. It lies in my hand. We make choices. Do we follow ourselves or do we follow what he says? We make choices. Do we go this way or do we go? You made a choice at whatever time this morning to get up, put on some clothes and get here at 2 degrees when it's that freezing out there. You made a choice to brush your teeth. We make choices constantly, and we sit here, and God has given us this manual. He's given us the Word, which is filled with so many promises, and the question is, are we choosing to follow the manual? You see, Adam and Eve had to make a choice. Moses, when he saw the burning bush, he had to make a choice. He turned to the Word. Joshua, who led the Israelites into the promised land, had to make a choice. So we all need to make a choice. So let's address some myths in the last 10 minutes. Myth number one, myth. That's the accent, myth. Tithing is Old Testament and not for today. Well, I've just given you Malachi, which is Old Testament, but let me point you to Matthew 23:23, where it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Hypocrites, the Amplified talks about pretenders. How many people who are believers today are pretenders? Just saying. "For you tithe." Here's the word, New Testament. Hello, everybody. Matthew 23:23. "You tithe." So Jesus is referring to this mint and dill and cumin, "and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to do." These you ought to have done. What is he referring to? He's referring to the tithe without neglecting the others. He's referring to the last bit. Luke 11:42, another New Testament scripture, says something very similar. "But woe to you Pharisees, for you have tithed. For you tithe mint and rue and every little herb, but disregard and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others." Now, we can get into a theological debate. We can get mad with one another. But with all due respect, my theology is my opinion. Your theology is your opinion. It's how we interpret the Word. My question is, what is the Word saying? Let's forget about your theology, my theology. Let's go to Jesus. What is the Word saying? Let's live out the Word. Now this might sound a little bit, a little bit harsh. It's not the easiest message to bring on your first sermon. I'm just saying. Give me grace, please. Just a little bit of grace. The question is, though, do I place my beliefs on what you say or do I place my beliefs on what the Word says? Do I follow myself and what I think I know or do I follow what the Word says? Because the Word is what's going to set me free. You see, we those who ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So my motto basically is this, is giving to the Lord going to benefit me or harm me? No, when I read the whole Bible, it's going to benefit me. When I look at my life, people, we've been on this faith journey for 22 years since we landed with two suitcases, not having a job in Australia, going to a church and saying, "Here we are. Who are you?" "Well, this is my wife, Paulina, and I'm JJ." "Oh, great. And you are?" "Well, why are you here?" "Because God said we need to come to Australia." You'll hear the testimony. That's literally what we did. So for 22 years, we've been on this faith journey, and you've just heard of the two latest miracles that God's done in our lives. We've got, I can stand here for maybe 2 weeks, 3 months, whatever, telling you testimony on testimony on testimony. Myth number two, I can tithe where I want, when I want, and how I want. Yes, you can. It's your choice. It's your choice. But my question is, are you following of Jesus or are you a follower of you? You see, my family and I choose to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus. So again, what does the Word say? You see, because at the end of the day, God gives us a manual. He gives us a manual filled with so many promises, so many promises, so many instructions. If you live this way, this will be the result. If you live this way or this way, this will be the result. He gives you a guideline. Now, anybody bought anything from IKEA? please. Who loves IKEA? Who loves the meatballs? Got to go have meatballs when you go to IKEA. That is for sure. Now, IKEA, we go and buy robes, yeah? Massive robes, hang, lie them out. JJ's putting them together, takes out the manual, step one to step 16. I'm like, yeah, okay, great. Put it down. Who knows, blokes do not like manuals. They do not like to follow manuals. Yep. JJ misses step 2 to 14. He does step 1, hoping step 6, 15 and 16 is going to put the wardrobe up. It doesn't happen. Cost me dearly, really cost me dearly. I had to humble myself after hours of frustration and call for help. It was not Bob the Builder. It was Paulina, the wife. Now, who knows, that is very humbling to get your wife in. Her very first question is, did you read the manual? I'm like, yeah. And Holy Spirit says, don't you dare lie. I'm like, well, sort of. Anyway, who knows that when you skip some steps, you don't get the right product or the right outcome you were hoping for. You have to go through the steps to be able to get through to the other side. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Two Corinthians for the team, if you can please put this up. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 to 8. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As I lingered on this scripture, way before I knew I had to pray, I had to come and preach here today, I came to the realization, I don't have a choice to give. Giving in the Bible is not a choice. It's actually a mandate. But I do have a choice on how much I give. And if you read this, Paul is talking to every believer. He says, reflect in your heart and decide what you want to give. What is the heart? The heart is the place of life. The heart is the place, is the dwelling place of God. Whew. The heart is our hidden center beyond the grasping of our reasoning. The heart is a place of decisions. The heart is a place of truth where we choose life or death. It is a place of encounter. The heart is a place of covenant. So we've got to check in with the heart and then from that place determine how much you want to give. A very good friend of mine had his birthday. I'm going to really miss him on the Gold Coast. Whew. Who knows, maybe he might move as well. But I went to his birthday. I knew it was his birthday, and him and I are like, man, every morning we connect with one another. We share what Jesus is sharing. We share scripture. We share warnings. We share dreams, all this kind of stuff. And I knew it was his birthday, and I knew he values journals. So I went to, so I thought I'll get him a journal for his birthday. So I went to Kmart and opened up the journal, you know, little notebook, and it looked nice. And I opened the pages, and they were okay. And I turned over, but in my heart, I knew, yeah, no, this is not actually what I'm looking for. And I turned over the price, $5.99, not bad for a nice little notebook, you know, for journals. Anyway, and I was looking around, went to Koorong, and I love Koorong, IKEA Koorong. Maybe it should be the other way around if I want to be religious. Okay. But I walk in there and there's this journal. It's a thicker journal and it's leather bound and it's got a leather strap on. And I open it up and I actually pull, you know, I don't know if you do that, smelt it. Yeah, I smell it. Smelt it. I went, you could smell the leather coming from Africa. Like you smell the leather. It was just, and I went, this is it. This is it. Turned over, looked at the price, and went 20 times maybe the price, but I love my friends so much that I determined that I needed and I wanted to give him something of value. So let's get back to the scripture. And I finish with this. Each of you should give what you decide in your heart to give. Let's check our hearts and see how much we love Jesus and value Jesus. And then give out of that. You see, because when you look at Jesus and you go, he has died for me. His body was busted to smithereens for me. His blood was everywhere for me. Then I cannot but otherwise give. Not out of compulsion, not out because JJ said, or because Pastor Corey said, or Pastor Raf said, but I give because there's a love that drives me to give everything and anything that I can. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When you determine in your heart how much he loves you and how much you love him, I mean, I did not even hesitate to pay that money for my friend's journal. I paid it because I knew that he would know that I value him. So I want to encourage us as we move forward that as we journey together, I know this house is a generous house. I know that there's very many generous people. I know that. I feel it. I can sense it. I don't know much about the behind the scenes. I know we've got a building. We've got a home to walk in a couple of months' time, but we've got to work towards it. I know a little bit, but not much. But this is what I want to say. As we move forward as a house, let's check our hearts. Because I know there's some people in here, you're struggling to tithe. How do I know that? Because once upon a time, I did as well. Once upon a time, we weren't tithing. When we got married, we weren't tithing. Because there was no money to tithe. JJ, you don't understand the economy today. Oh my God. I understand. You've just heard I've gone through 18 weeks of one salary. But God. Some of you are struggling to tithe. I say this. Tithing is a key that will unlock the open heaven above you and release a blessing of abundance that you will not have room enough to store it all. Where do I start, Pastor JJ? You start at the beginning. We started with $10. $10 and then $20 and then $30 and then $40 and then $50 and you know what? Every time we tithe, it was like in Pauline and I were like in, there was no lack. Wow, there was no lack. We got through the month, babe. High five. Jesus, you're good. Able to start at the beginning. Start at the beginning. Remember, I'm not compelling you. I'm giving you some keys. You decide. For those who are tithing, here's my challenge for you. Is God maybe asking you to give more? From glory to glory. He wants to unlock, open heaven. But I am blessed, but he wants to bless you more. R.G. Latorno, he died in 1969, was a Christian industrialist who dedicated his life to being a businessman for God. He is known for living on 10% of his income and giving 90% of it away for the sake of God's kingdom. You cannot outgive God. You cannot. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything in the universe. But you know what? I have to play my role. I have to play my part.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.